Hi, it's really so special to be here on Rosh Chodesh. We just had Shabbat HaChodesh just yesterday, and it's really such a wonderful experience to feel the Chodesh HaGe'ulah in every single way, shape, and form. What I'd like to speak about today, since Pesach is coming so soon, is this idea of the four freedoms of Leil HaSeder. What are the four freedoms of Leil HaSeder? I picked four because I want to correlate it to the Arba Kosot, the Arba Banim. Four is such an important theme on Leil HaSeder. And Nisan is Man Cheroteinu. The Seder is all about freedom, is all about Geula, is all about redemption. We say the idea, and we mention the idea, and we incorporate the idea of Yitziat Mitzrayim, the Exodus from Egypt, every day in our lives. Kol Yimei Chayecha. Yimei Chayecha Hayamim, Kol Yimei Chayecha Halelot, and Yimot HaMashiach. Yitziat Mitzrayim is such an important value in our lives. We say it every single day. So how do you make Leil HaSeder special when you speak about Yitziat Mitzrayim, the Exodus? What is unusual and special about Leil HaSeder? Why is this night different from all others? So I'd like to discuss the four freedoms, four ideas of freedom that we have in Leil HaSeder that are so important to us. So I'd like to share screen so people can look at some of the sources. What we see in Leil HaSeder, the first idea of a freedom, of a chirut, is the idea that was developed so beautifully by Rav Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik Zatzal, is the idea of Kiddushat HaZman, the idea of the sanctification of time, the idea that time means freedom, and that freedom really totally defines who you are as an individual and as a creative member of the human race and also of Klal Yisrael. So the freedom of time is my first freedom that I'd like to discuss. When we daven, when we pray, we say, Mekadesh HaShabbat Yisrael v'hazmanim. This morning we said, Mekadesh Yisrael v'roshei chodashim. Right? When I was davening Musaf this morning, because we changed the clock earlier, we say, Mekadesh HaShabbat Yisrael v'azmanim. We speak about Hashem being the one sanctifying Shabbat, because Hashem, when he created the world, sanctified Shabbat. But when Hashem decided, right, and gave us the wonderful gift of the Chagim, of the holidays, in addition to the wonderful gift of Shabbat, instead of Hashem saying, I declare the time when Chagim will fall out, we were given this wonderful ability to be junior partners with Hashem. And the first idea and the first mitzvah that we were given when Hashem spoke to Moshe in Mitzrayim to tell Bnei Israel and to convey a mitzvah, it was Rosh Chodesh. In Shmot Perek Yud Bet, and again, we just had Shabbat HaChodesh, and we just said this. HaChodesh hazeh lachem rosh chodashim rishonu lechodshei hashana. This is the first month for you. But what are Bnei Israel going to do with this first month? Bnei Israel are going to be, as Rav Rosenzweig always says, junior partners with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Bnei Israel are going to be the ones sanctifying the month, being the witnesses, joining with Hashem as junior partners to sanctify time. So Hashem, who sanctified time with Shabbat, also takes us as junior partners to sanctify time through the idea of Rosh Chodesh, sanctifying the new moon, sanctifying the month. And once you sanctify the month, you are deciding when all the holidays take place. So this is a very important element that we are allowed and we are given the beautiful gift of sanctifying time. And what does that mean to have Kiddushat Hazman? What does it mean to sanctify time? It means that we are the authors of time, that we can change what happens in time by involving ourselves in three different ways. And I'd like to read the idea that the Rav really said so eloquently. And this is from the Rav's Haggadah, An Exalted Evening, page 16. God endowed man with time awareness the ability to sense and feel time and the existential stream of selfhood. This time awareness or experience has three basic components. First, retrospection. Without memory, there is no time. Second, the time experience includes exploration or close examination of things yet unborn and events not yet existent in existence. Third is the appreciation or evaluation of the present moment as one's most precious possession. What does that mean? The Rav so beautifully talks about time that first we have to think about the past, who we are, where we come from. We have to look inward, have retrospection, and remember the past. Without memory, you don't exist because you are someone coming from the past, from the people of the past. You belong to a group. On the other hand, the second thing the Rav talks about is the future, not the present. He doesn't go past, present, and future. The Rav goes past, and then he goes to the future. Without thinking about the future and where you're going, then you can't have a story, an outlook. But what really affects and what really changes and what do you have in your power at this moment? That's the present. So your present is from the past. Your present, your decisions are decided on what happened in the past and where you want to go in the future. But your most precious possession is now. The ability to be free and make decisions now based on the past, but also that lead you to the future. So the idea of time, the idea that we can sanctify time by Birkat HaChodesh, by doing Kiddush Levana, not today, but then we could do the Birkat HaChodesh and we could be Mekadesh HaChodesh and we could decide with Betin what the future is going to be and the calendar works. That is a very important sign of our freedom. And another very important sign of our freedom is this idea of Kiddush, that we can sanctify time. Usually with the Chagim and Shabbat, we can sanctify it earlier. But we'll discuss a little later. We'll see on Leil HaSeder, the Kiddush is not only sanctifying the time, it's also the first of the Arba Kosot. So our Kiddush, our Kiddushat Hazman, will also have a double meaning. It will have the idea of Kiddushat Hazman in general, but it will also have the beginning of telling the story of Yitziat Mitzrayim. So our Kedushat HaZman, our freedom of time, and talking about it in Leil HaSeder, will do two things at once. It will remind us of the past, of what's going on in our history. It will plan for the future, because we'll see that telling the story of Yitziat Mitzrayim has ramifications for our future. But most importantly, right now at this moment, we have the ability to unify all those three ideas in Leil HaSeder by telling the story of Yitziat Mitzrayim. The second freedom that I'd like to discuss today is the freedom of religion. And this idea I'd like to discuss with you is an idea that was originally written by Rav David Zvi Hoffman, but my father, Rabbi David Eliach Shlita, he should have a long and wonderful life and continue in good health, is this idea that also on Leil HaSeder, what freedom do we speak about? We speak about the freedom of religion, the freedom that we were able to transform ourselves. As we know in Mitzrayim, we were worshiping idols. We were enveloped with the ideas and ideology of Mitzrayim. And Hashem taking us out of Mitzrayim and giving us Korban Pesach was a way to remove us from that environment and bring us towards Avodat Hashem, towards a closeness with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, towards being B'nai Yisrael, identifying with Avodat Hashem, with the worship of Hashem. So the second freedom I would like to discuss is really devolved around Magid, in which Pesach, Matzah, and Maror, those three things take a central role. So my second freedom is the freedom of religion. When Hashem tells B'nai Yisrael in Perek Yud Bet, the Perek we just discussed before about HaChodesh, Hashem tells them, sanctify the new moon. This is your first month. And also Hashem tells B'nai Israel, Vayikhu lahem ish se Lebeit avot selabait. Hashem tells Bnei Israel that they should each take a seh and they should hold it in their homes. And what should they do once they hold it and watch it? They should slaughter it on the 14th day of Nisan, which is the Arba'asar Erev Pesach, which is when Korban Pesach is sacrificed. And they should take from the blood of the Korban and they should eat the meat. V'achlu tabasar balayla hazeh tzli esh umatzot al mrorim yochluhu. They should eat this meat at this night on the 14th, roasted, and eat it over matzah and maror. And here comes the question. If matzah and maror are really to remember when what went on in Mitzrayim, I can understand why these three things are together. We're eating a korban, a sacrifice. We're eating it on matzot, remembering the life that we had in Mitzrayim. We were oppressed. We could not eat leavened bread because we were slaves. We were poor, so we only can eat poor bread. So the matzah reminds us of the past. It reminds us of the slavery in Egypt. Also, we eat it on bitter herbs, on maror, because also it reminds us of the slavery, the bitter life that we had in Egypt. But why are we eating the seh? We know that the seh was considered the god of Mitzrayim. And it was very chutzpahrik of us to take the god of Mitzrayim, hold on to it for 4 days, and then sacrifice it on the fourth, sacrifice their god, and eat it on matzah umaror. So is this a mixed metaphor? Versus their god is the Korban Pesach itself. And then the matzah and maror is a remembrance for us of what our lives were in Mitzrayim. And that is a very important idea. But what we're going to see is that there is another layer to the Korban Pesach. Not only just the animal versus Avodah Zarah and the matzot remembering our slavery, the maror also remembering our slavery. There might be another idea embedded in this as well. What was the idea of 14th at night, the Leil of Yetziat Mitzrayim, the night that they had to eat the Korban Pesach? We had to eat it quickly. Why? Because Ubechol Elohei Mitzrayim Eseh Shvatim Ani Hashem. I am going to make special miracles against the gods of Mitzrayim. So we know that Hashem goes, saves Bnei Israel, destroys the firstborn of the Egyptians, but also it undermined the belief of the Mitzrim in their gods. Also, we have to remember this day and we have to celebrate it. And we have to watch the matzot. And today that's very connected with our eating Shmura Matzah. There are many things that we do. And we remember that it's Zevach Pesach LaHashem, that Hashem destroyed the Mitzrim and he saved us because he saw the blood that was on our doorposts. We had to put the blood on our doorposts. So that's the Korban Pesach. After we ate the Korban Pesach, fast, b'chipazon, dressed completely, we also had to bake for our trip. And what happened? Bnei Israel didn't have time to bake their matzot, so they baked it quickly. It wasn't able to rise, and they put it on their shoulders. So my question is, and the question Rav David Zvi Hoffman and my father asked, so what is it? Are we eating the matzah because we had to eat matzah on the 14th at night with the Korban Pesach? Or are we eating the matzah because we left Mitzrayim quickly and we didn't have enough time to bake? Or could it be that this matzah has so many different representations and the maror has so many different representations? We call it lechem oni, not just poor bread. Lechem she'onim alav harbe she'elot, bread that we answer a lot of questions about it. Or it's a bread, it's not poor bread, it's pure, just bread, just flour and water. So there are many ways to look at matzah, many ways to look at maror, which we'll see in a moment. So the question is, so what is the Korban Pesach? What is the seh, the lamb? What is the maror representing, the bitter herbs? And what is the matzah representing? Because we had to eat it that way before. So is it representing only the slavery, poor bread, bitter herbs, because life was bitter? And this is a way of showing, oh, now we are important. We can sacrifice your God. Or is there also another symbolism? And that's what I'd like to discuss right now. In the Gemara, when we talk about Korban Pesach and what you have to mention on Leil HaSeder, we say this famous Mishnah by Rabban Gamliel, and we say it at the Pesach Seder. And if you didn't say it, you're not Yotze, Leil HaSeder. And what are they? Kol shelo amar shlosha dvarim elu bePesach lo yatza yedei chovato ve'elu hen Pesach, Matzah u'Maror. So we know Pesach, Matzah u'Maror that we've just been discussing are central to the Pesach Seder. So what is the reason that Rabban Gamliel gives that we mention it at the Seder, where we're demonstrating and reliving the Exodus from Egypt? Number one, al shum shepasach hamakom al batei avoteinu, because Hashem passed over our homes. We put the blood. Hashem knew we were in there. Matzah al shum shenigalu avoteinu, because our ancestors were redeemed from Mitzrayim. And it explains, oh, because they baked the matzah and they didn't have enough time for it to leaven. So in the Mishnah, Hashem passed over our homes. Hashem ordered us to eat matzah, the mitzvah, further because we didn't have enough time to bake the matzah. And what about maror? Because our lives were embittered. So clearly at Leil HaSeder, one of the main reasons we mention Pesach, Matzah, u'Maror is because of the bitterness, is because we didn't have enough time to bake the matzah to leave, is because Hashem saved us by us eating the Korban Pesach and by putting the blood on our mashkof. But what about that first Pesach? Not just, oh, at our Seder, we remember the historical events. We remember the slavery. We remember the freedom. It's beautiful how it's all connected. But what about the Jews, the Israelites, Bnei Israel in Mitzrayim, when they had to eat that Korban Pesach? What was another symbol of the Korban Pesach, the matzah and maror? And here we can see something very interesting. In Vayikra, when we talk about Korbanot and what are the requirements of Korbanot, we see that Kol HaMincha Asher Takrivu LaHashem Lo Ta'aseh Chametz Ki Kol Se'or V'Chol Devash Lo Taktiru Mimenu Ishel LaHashem. In Vayikra, Perek Bet Pasuk Aleph, we see that every meal offering that you bring in the Beit HaMikdash, you cannot sacrifice it chametz. Almost all the minchas, a mincha is a meal offering, which means it's flour and water. You cook it quickly. You fry it quickly. It's almost never chametz. Almost no korbanot in the Beit HaMikdash are chametz. Maybe, right, we have the Shtei Alechem. We have a few korbanot and Shavuos. That's a whole different thing. It's fascinating because it comes after Sfiras HaOmer and Shavuos. So it's like a journey from matzah to chametz. But in general, we don't bring meal offerings of chametz because, as the Torah tells us, you can't bring any leaven or any honey to sacrifice it to Hashem. And not only that, in Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vayikra Bet, Pasuk Yud Gimel, you see, the kol korban min chatcha bamelach timlach. We constantly put salt on everything. And this symbolizes the break between us, the covenant between us and Hashem, which is eternal, because salt is eternal. It preserves things, but also in itself, it stays for a very long time. So an idea here, again, by Rav David Zvi Hoffman and Rabbi Eliach, is this idea that when they brought the Korban Pesach originally, it was against Avodah Zarah. Why don't we bring chametz in the Beit HaMikdash? Because all the Avodah Zarah, all the idol worship, used to bring leavened, beautiful cakes when they used to sacrifice to their gods. And they also used to bring honey, sweet things. So not only is the chametz and Ma and Maror against and representing the hard work and the symbolism of slavery and then of freedom, because we didn't have enough time to bake because Hashem took us out so quickly. Beautiful symbol. But when they made that first Korban Pesach in Mitzrayim, the Seh was against Avodah Zarah, the gods of the Egyptians. The matzah was against the beautiful cakes that they used to serve for Avodah Zarah. The maror against the dvash that they used to sacrifice to separate Bnei Israel from Avodah Zarah. That was so important in Mitzrayim. And if you look at Rashi, Rashi elaborates this idea when he talks about that first korban. Rashi explains in Shmot Perek Yud Bet, Pasuk Vav, Rashi explains what's the difference of Korban Pesach in Mitzrayim to Korban Pesach, which is going to be Pesach Dorot. And Rashi explains that we had to hold the sheep for 4 days before. Why? Number one, to show that we're against the Avodah Zarah of Mitzrayim, that we're not afraid, that we are willing to identify with our religion and realize that the Geula is going to come after all these years. And not only that, says Rashi, Oy, Bnei Israel and Mitzrayim were doing Avodah Zarah. They weren't worshiping Hashem properly. They didn't have any mitzvot. So what are the two mitzvot that were given them? The mitzvah of milah, circumcision, and the mitzvah of the Korban Pesach. Blood, 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 to show our connection, our new covenant, our identity. So what does Rashi end with? Mishchu yideichem me'avodah zarah ukhu lachem tzon shel mitzvah. What's the idea? Separate yourself from Avodah Zarah and take the sheep of mitzvah. So we see this element of versus Avodah Zarah now coming to Avodat Hashem the right way. And the matzah, in addition to symbolizing the slavery, and in addition to symbolizing the beautiful freedom, we didn't even have enough time to bake matzah because Hashem took us out so quickly. It also reminds us of that first Korban Pesach, which was also Bnei Israel's demonstration theologically, freedom of religion, separating themselves from the Mitzrim, in the matzah being against the cakes that Avodah Zarah sacrifice, and the maror being versus the dvash, the honey, that usually is sacrificed by idol worshippers when they bring their sacrifices. And we even have a hint of that in the Beit HaMikdash, in the Mishkan, because we don't bring chametz and we don't bring dvash on a regular basis to korbanot in the Beit HaMikdash. My third freedom that I'd like to discuss is the freedom of Magid and Shulchan Orech and the freedom to define and tell your story. What is Leil HaSeder about? Leil HaSeder is about Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim, telling your story. And not only telling your story, demonstrating your story. And the Arba Kosot is all about telling the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim. This is an important freedom, and we have to drink the cups Beheseba. We have to eat Shulchan Orech Beheseba. Almost everything we do, except for the Maror, and debate about other items, but mostly Maror, we try to do Beheseba. Freedom, like kings. So this idea of freedom to define and tell your story is very important, so much so that it's a mitzvah asei d'oraita. If you look at the Rambam, the mitzvah of Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim is a mitzvah asei d'oraita. It's a d'oraita to tell your story. Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim is a d'oraita. Mitzvah asei shel Torah l'saper benisim v'niflaot sh'na'asu la'avotenu b'mitzrayim b'leil 15 b'nisan. So this is in Rambam, Hilchot Chametz u'Matzah, Perek Zayin, Halacha Aleph. It is a mitzvah d'oraita, the telling of the story. It's freedom to be able to tell your story. And we have to do it al hakos. And we do it al hakos, and we have to do heseba when we drink al hakos. So all of this idea of freedom, of demonstrating, is very important. And the Taz says something very interesting. The Taz says that we really have to do the kiddush, the first kiddush of the night, the first kos, has to be already when it's full Pesach. We can't do it early. Usually for Shabbat, for Chagim, we can make kiddush early, but not on Leil HaSeder, ideally. And this year we have no problem because it's Motzei Shabbat. You can't bring in Pesach early. What's the point? The point is that the first of the Arba Kosot is Kiddush, but it's also the first of the Arba Kosot. You have to say the story when you're going to be eating the you have to eat the matzah. You have to eat the Shulchan Aruch. You have to eat the Maror. Everything has to be done together, integrated completely. So we have to tell our story, and we do it to show we were out of Mitzrayim and the freedom. And we have to say it as much as we can. Kol hamarbeh, hareze mishubach. And not only that, we have to demonstrate it to others. We have to do it in the way that the kids would ask, as Rambam says in Halacha Gimel. And we do all different kind of things to show that we are free. We have this history, and you have to know it, and you have to ask questions and participate. And the Rambam has beautiful language in Hilchos Chametz Umatzah, Perek Zayin Halacha Vav. Usually we say the phrase, "V'chol dor v'dor chayav adam lirot et atzmo, ki ilu hu haya b'mitzrayim." No. The Rambam phrases this, "V'chol dor v'dor chayav adam leharot et atzmo, ki ilu hu be'atzmo yatsa ata this moment mishiabud Mitzrayim." What is Leila Seder? When you tell the story, you have to demonstrate it. You have to feel it. You have to show that you were just redeemed, that you are free, which means the past and the present, and showing for now, but that has ramifications for the future, are all intertwined in Leila Seder. And we have to demonstrate it, and we have to show it. So the freedom is not just thinking it intellectually. We have to live it. We have to breathe it. We have to show it in every single possible way. So Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim is not just even just telling the story. It's being animated. It's including everyone around you in this story in every way possible. And the Sefer HaChinuch says, even if you are sitting alone, you have to say it out loud, and you have to speak about it, because it's important to make it known and articulate it. Similar to tshuva and vidui, you have to say it. It has to be out there. It has to be real. So too, Leil HaSeder, Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim, it's not just something we think in our head. We have to demonstrate it. We have to talk about it. We envision it, we visualize it, and we make it real and practical with foods, with story, with telling history, with thinking about the future. All of those ways are ways that we make Leil HaSeder a freedom night of talking, of telling our story. And by telling our story, we actually articulate something that is real. And we make sure that we know our history from the past, and we make sure our future generations know it. And we make sure that right now we're making sure to really make a union between the past and the future in the most practical and realistic way that we know how. And we do it in a way, we wear beautiful clothes. The men wear their kittel. We do heseba. We eat special foods. Shulchan Orech is supposed to be set beautifully. The seder is set with beautiful dishes. We're very makbid for everyone to have wine, to make special foods, and that we make the simanim of the seder very unique for this day. So that is our third freedom, the freedom to tell your story, the freedom to really articulate and make sure that the past is being demonstrated in the present, so we will have a future, but in a very important way. So freedom is passed on by stories. The fourth type of freedom, and the fourth idea of the evening, is an idea that I'd like to develop, that I am quoting Rav Michael Rosenzweig. And that is the freedom of praising Hashem and theological inquiry. In the Gemara, right, and this is the other phrasing, we just mentioned it, Bechol dor vador, in Gemara, Masechet Psachim, Daf Kuftet Zayin Amud Aleph, Bechol dor vador chayav adam lirot et atzmo, right? And we saw the difference, how the Rambam phrases it. He even wants to go further, leharot et atzmo. We have to totally demonstrate it. In every generation, a person has to see himself as if he just came out of Mitzrayim. And again, right, the Rambam says it's not just seeing yourself. You have to demonstrate it. You have to really reenact your freedom coming out of Mitzrayim. In our family, we follow the minhag that we take the matzah on our shoulders, and you have to ask the questions, where have you come from? we say Me'eretz Mitzrayim, and we're invited to the Seder, to really, in addition to what we say of the Seder and sit around, to enact this Yitziat Mitzrayim. So Bechol Dor Vador, I'm back to the Gemara. Talmud Bavli, Masechet Psachim, Dav Kuf Tet Zayin Amad Aleph. Bechol Dor Vador Chayav Adam Lirot Et Atzmo Ki Ilu Hu Yatzam Mi Mitzrayim. We have to see ourselves that we came out of Mitzrayim. And what do we also have to do? We have to not only tell the story of Yitziat Mitzrayim, we also have to praise Hashem for Yitziat Mitzrayim. And the end of Magid is really Hallel. The end of Magid is really Hallel. We end Magid with Hallel. And we actually say the bracha on the kos after we at least started Hallel in the end of the Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim. Because you can't tell the Sipur of Yitziat Mitzrayim without the Shevach and Hodah and Hallel to Hashem. You can't, because it's part of it. It's part of the story of Yitziat Mitzrayim, the going out and thanking. So even though we say Hallel separately after Shulchan Orech, we start Hallel already at the end of Magid. And the debate in the Gemara, and of course in the Mishnah among the Tanaim, was till where do we say the Hallel in Magid? The view of Beit Shammai, and where do we say it before we say that beautiful bracha of Geula when we finish Magid? Ad Heichan Hu Omer. Beit Shammai Omrim Ad Eim Habanim Smecha. Ubeit Hillel Omrim Ad Chalamish Lamaynomayim V'chotem B'Geula. The debate among the Tanaim was Beit Shammai said, we say the first two paragraphs. We say the beginning of Hallel, and we also say Bitzait, sorry, we only say the first paragraph of Hallel. Beit Shammai say, we say, sorry, Beit Hillel says, Ad Chalamish Lamaynomayim, the Chotem Begula. Beit Hillel says, no, we include the first two paragraphs of Hallel in our Magid, and we say the Bracha of Geula. And we will start from Lo Lanu after Shulchan Orech, when we say officially Hallel. What's the symbolism behind it? So Rav Michal Rosenzweig suggests a very important message. Beit Shammai say the first paragraph. The first paragraph begins you on generic Hallel, Hallel for Hashem. But after Shulchan Orech, we still want to connect Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim with the Hallel and the rest of Leila Seder. So we say, B'tzeit Yisrael mi Mitzrayim, that's where we should start Hallel after Shulchan Orech, which means we say a little Hallel with Yitziat Mitzrayim, with Magid, the story, and then we start the second part of Hallel after Shulchan Orech, after Birkat HaMazon, with Betzeit Yisrael Mimitzrayim, which means continue the story officially in Hallel of Yitziat Mitzrayim. Beit Hillel say, no, let's put all of official Yitziat Mitzrayim in the Magid part. The official Yitziat Mitzrayim. And that would be the first two paragraphs. Because as we know, the second paragraph, as we said this morning, is Betzeit Yisrael Mimitzrayim, Bet Yaakov Me'am Loez. Which means Mitzrayim, Yitziat Mitzrayim, Magid, thanking Hashem for Yitziat Mitzrayim is for Magid. But once we have Shulchan Orech, and once we say Birkat HaMazon, what is our focus for the rest of the Seder? Our focus for the rest of the Seder is, of course, also to talk about Yitziat Mitzrayim. But our goal for the rest of the Seder is to learn the lessons of Yitziat Mitzrayim, is to realize the praise that we give Hashem for Yitziat Mitzrayim should follow us throughout our lives, should be the lesson that we learn after Shulchan Orech, the end of Hallel, the end of what our Geula and Yeshua is about. Which means what? Which means that We don't only praise Hashem for Yitziat Mitzrayim, which we absolutely do, but we have to learn that we have to praise Hashem for everything in our lives. We learn from Yitziat Mitzrayim and saying Hallel after Yitziat Mitzrayim and the Shirat Hayam for the future. We learn that we have to say Hallel for all the good things Hashem does for us, all the times in history, and looking ahead and seeing how Hashem acts in history and how wonderful he is. And we say Nishmat, we realize how everyone has to praise Hashem. And we talk about all the different beautiful piyutim and songs that we have in the end, again, how Hashem acts in history, which means the lessons of the Seder and how we enact them for the future and how we praise Hashem for everything he does for us, even in our everyday lives, is the lesson that we take from the Seder already during the Seder. So we split this Hallel because part of it is Hallel for the Geula and Mitzrayim. And part of it is to realize how important gratitude and Shevach V'Hodah for Hashem is in our everyday lives. So at the Seder, we're already learning lessons for the future from Yitziat Mitzrayim and from Leil HaSeder. So it's not just remembering the past. It's learning, invigorating our religion, trying to enact what Yitziat Mitzrayim is, and that helps us become better Jews for the future, better worshipers of Hashem for the futures, better givers of gratitude. Look how much Hallel and Shevach V'Hodah is the end of the Seder, because we have to learn that from the Seder. In addition to the history, in addition to thanking Hashem for Yitziat Mitzrayim, thanking Hashem for every day, Nishmat Kol Chai, every day we have to thank you. And what we also see today in psychology is that gratitude is so important. One of the biggest things they talk about today is to make a gratitude journal. Every day, to be a healthy individual, a caring individual, what do you have to do? Have a journal and write every day the things you're grateful for. And it's called a gratitude journal. What is the Haggadah? What's the end of the Haggadah? It's a gratitude journal. We don't talk about Moshe except for once. We don't talk about the women and all of them doing the wonderful Nisim and Niflaos and Mitzrayim. Hashem. We're thanking Hashem for all the great things he did for us in the past and also all the great things he does for us in the future. So the Leil HaSeder is this beautiful integration of all these ideas. And the Rambam also speaks about the bracha and la halacha. Right? What do we do? As the Rambam explains, we say Hallel only the first two paragraphs, like Hillel, and the rest is really this universal message that we have. So I'd like just to recap. We saw today on Rosh Chodesh, we just had Shabbat HaChodesh. We're looking for the new month and Geula, and we call Nisan Chodesh HaGeula, and we expect the Geula come. So the freedom that we experience on Nisan and on Leil HaSeder has these four elements. It's the freedom of time, the Kedushat HaZman, realizing we can shape time and mold it if we look to the past and we look to the future and we realize that we have this ability to be junior partners with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have the freedom of religion that we saw in addition of course, to the Korban Pesach, and especially Korban Pesach Ledore Doros, reminding us of Yitziat Mitzrayim, freedom that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, the bitterness, but then the wonderful exodus that Hashem took us out. And the Korban Pesach, a Korban to remember that. We also have that demonstration of freedom of religion, freedom from Avodah Zarah, freedom from the old views of Mitzrayim to new ideas, to Avodat Hashem. So Korban Pesach versus the God of Mitzrayim. Matzah versus the cakes that they would bake for their gods. Maror versus the honey that they would sacrifice. And we see that we still keep that in the Beit HaMikdash and the Mishkan. And only on rare occasions do we bring a Chametz Korban. The freedom of telling your story. The freedom of the Arba Kosov, the freedom of Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim, which is a Doraita at this night, to tell your story, to demonstrate it every way that you can, and to sit behesibah throughout the entire night when you do the special mitzvot, and to make sure that this night really defines what our beautiful religion is about, what our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is about, what our history is about, and what we want the future to be. But the sipur, the telling of the story, is so important. The actual events that took place and being able to articulate. As we saw, the Sefer HaChinuch says, even if you're alone, you have to articulate it. You have to say it out loud. Very important. And the fourth freedom of the evening of Leil HaSeder is the freedom of Shevach V'Hoda, because you have to be in a certain position to be able to praise wholeheartedly, with a full mouth, with a full heart, HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all the great things that he did. And we see the split in Hallel teaches us that it's not only Shevach V'Hoda for what happened to us in Mitzrayim, thanking for Yitziat Mitzrayim, thanking for the past, but it's also the Shevach V'Hoda for what Hashem does for us every single day. And we recount all the wonderful things and realize how important it is to praise Hashem, not to be Kvui Tova, but to realize that not only did Hashem save us then and Am Yisrael, but now every day in our life and the future, the big Geula that we're going to have that we mention in our Bracha of Geula, that we also hope that this is a sign for the future, but to realize that we have this need and responsibility, but also obligation that will make us freer people and happier people, and also makes us responsible people, and not to be kvui tova, that if good things are done to us, we don't react and respond. A free person could admit goodness that someone else did for him. A free people realize the greatness of Hashem, how Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, and to be thankful and to make sure that we understand these messages. So that is the fourth. That is the freedom of Shevach V'Hoda. So I'd like to wish everyone a Chag Kasher V'Sameach, a Chodesh Tov, Chodesh HaGeula, the Chodesh of Chirut, Zman Chiruteinu, that these freedoms will become embedded in our lives of Kedushat HaZman, of Kedushat HaDat, of Kedushat HaSipur, and the power of the Sipur, and also the Kedusha and the freedom and the beauty of Shevach V'Hoda, of Hallel, to Hashem, and of course also to those around us who do good things to us. We learn from how we behave to Hashem, how to behave to others. So again, a wonderful Leil HaSeder, a wonderful Pesach, a wonderful Chodesh, and just bracha and hatzlacha and kol tov.